Both this morning and this evening, I'm going to be speaking about faith. This evening, as I approach Daniel chapter 2, we're going to talk about what it is that Daniel was a man of faith and character. This morning, I want to talk about the fact that salvation is only by faith. It is by faith alone in the Word of God. So let me turn your attention, please, to Galatians, the second chapter. Galatians chapter 2 and verse 20. Galatians chapter 2, verse 20 through chapter 3, verse 3. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. I do not frustrate the grace of God. For if righteousness come by the law, then Christ is dead in vain. O foolish Galatians, who hath bewitched you that ye should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ hath been evidently set forth crucified among you? This only when I learn of you. Received ye the Spirit by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? Are ye so foolish, having begun in the Spirit, are ye now made perfect by the flesh? The Apostle Paul directly approaches the matter of our salvation. It is that I have been identified with Jesus Christ in His death upon Calvary. It is Christ that died, and I died with Him. The old Mike McCubbins in the eyes of God was crucified on Calvary, and He paid for his sins. Now the life that I live by the faithfulness of the Son of God. He's the one that loved me, and He gave Himself for me. Now Paul really hammers home that point in verse 21. When he says, I do not frustrate the grace of God. For if righteousness come by the law, then Christ is dead in vain. And that word in vain there, the Greek word that is translated in vain, is also translated without a cause, for no purpose, for naught. When Paul says, we have eaten no man's bread for naught. He uses the same word here, for nothing. Christ died for nothing. If you could save yourself any other way than by faith in the Son of God alone. If you could keep your salvation or save yourself by doing something, whether that were good works or keeping the law or joining some group, if anything you could do could measure up to either getting you saved or keeping you saved, then what you're announcing to the world is that Christ died in vain. Because it is the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ alone that saves my soul. No amount of zeal or hard work on my part could have ever saved me. Paul says over in Romans, the 10th chapter, verses 1 through 4, Paul says in Romans chapter 10, verses 1 through 4, brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. For I bear them record that they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. For they, being ignorant of God's righteousness and going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. Now notice this, before we get to verse 4, that Paul says very clearly, when it comes to good works, nobody could top these people. They worked hard at it. They had a zeal for God. They wanted to do what they wanted to do for God's glory. They had that tremendous zeal, but it was not according to knowledge. It was not according to what could be known from the Scriptures. For they being ignorant of God's righteousness, it says, and going about to establish their own righteousness, instead of submitting themselves to the righteousness of God, they went in every direction trying to establish their own righteousness. My salvation is not dependent on my personal righteousness, what I personally may try to do, but rather on the righteousness of Jesus Christ alone. He's the one that died for me. So Paul sums it up in verse 4 by saying, for Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. Salvation is by faith. And it's by faith in Jesus Christ. It is not what I can offer God, it's what God has offered me. He has given me a salvation that is full and it is free. A lot of people think that one of our biggest problems today is education. So they stress that if we just had a little more human wisdom, a little bit more education, that we could get over all the ills and problems in our society. Now, humanism has been announcing this kind of a gospel for years. And in fact, when some of the big humanist educators took over the education system in the United States, many things changed. Paul says about humanism and about human wisdom as a means of salvation over in 1 Corinthians, the first chapter, 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 20 and 21. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this world? Hath not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? For after that in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. When in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom did not know God, the world could never have gotten to the place where they were wise enough, educated enough to have known the truth and believed it. God chose to save man not by wisdom, but by the foolishness of preaching. For this reason, any child can be saved. Any child can understand and believe. There is no special education that is necessary for someone to believe the gospel message and be saved. It is the foolishness of preaching that saves. When I went to school in Virginia, most of you today would have a hard time imagining that such a day actually existed in the United States of America. I went to a school in the state of Virginia. My dad was a military man in the Navy. He was a career military officer. He was stationed sometime at the Norfolk Naval Base, and so I went to school there. The teacher led us in prayer every morning and read verses to us, made us memorize verses out of the Bible. I was a Jewish boy. This was a public school. And we prayed, and we read our Bibles, and we even had to memorize. I even had to memorize John 3:16 in a public school. Can you imagine that? I had no idea what drugs were, except that you bought them at the drugstore. We did not call it a pharmacy back in those days, because I understood that penicillin, which hadn't been out very long, and aspirin and everything else that you could buy in the drugstore, those were drugs. Now, we were completely ignorant of a lot of things. And it really harmed us. Because when Dewey, who invented the Dewey Decimal System and a few other nice ideas about education, and some of his gang got a hold of the education in the United States of America, they said, this is barbaric. Our kids are exposed to drugs. We've got to teach them about the dangers of drugs. At the same time, in 1962, or around thereabout, when the Supreme Court said that we couldn't pray in school anymore or read our Bibles because this was a bad influence. You can tell it was such a terrible influence. Why kids in the United States didn't even know what drugs were. What a terrible thing. So, they rounded us all up. Now, I don't want to ask how many of you are as old as I am that can remember being taken into the auditorium and we were shown a movie about the bad effects of drugs in 1962. And we saw people smoking marijuana and injecting themselves. They hadn't figured out yet how to snort cocaine. They were shooting up and acting all stupid and going out and driving and having accidents. And so everybody in the auditorium went out and tried it. After all, what's the purpose of education if it's not supposed to teach you how to do something, right? So we went all out and we tried drugs. Now, not me personally. I'll be honest with you. I've never smoked a joint or anything else. The closest I ever got to that was when I was in a burning building, okay? I have never snorted anything that wasn't legal and that wasn't supposed to be up your nose, like nose drops or something like that. But I can tell you that a lot of the kids went out and tried drugs, and many of them told me they had never known how much fun they were missing until they saw it in the movies. We had to teach them how to avoid this. Now, folks, is it just me? But in 1962, when we started teaching about drugs in schools, what happened just a few years later? Was there some sort of a movement with guys with long hair smoking marijuana and shooting drugs up and snorting cocaine and generally causing problems throughout the next decade? Yeah, education really helped that problem, didn't it? You know something? With education, they changed society. But was it for the better or was it for the worse? Shortly after that, now I'd already graduated from school. Silly me. I never knew what sex was because they didn't teach that in schools when I was going to school. Crazy me. I had to figure that out after I got married. I thought that's what a marriage license was for. I had no idea. When I was a kid, I used to hear adults talking about the birds and bees. I thought they were birds and bees. And I still think they're birds and bees because I still can't figure out what that has to do with anything else. The only sex education I got that wasn't from Elaine, was from my dad. It was really awful. I don't know how I ended up with four kids. You know, I heard a Guarani Indian lady who told me that I better keep my wife away from the stagnant well because that's how women get pregnant. Must have been. Because I never took the class on sex education. And in my generation, they said that there were too many unwanted pregnancies. So we had to educate the children about this so that we wouldn't have so many unwanted pregnancies. Boy, that sure worked, didn't it? Now let's see. We taught them about drugs, so everybody went out and tried it. We told them, this is the only class we want you to take that you're not assigned any homework. You're not to go home and practice. Okay? And everybody did. We had so many unwanted pregnancies that we developed abortion as a way to get rid of the evidence of sin. That education really helped us, didn't it? Now, about 10 years ago, we decided in our education system that we needed to be more rounded in our education. We did away with music and replaced it with homosexual sensitivity. Anybody want to guess what the results of that are going to be? Folks, has education been used to reform our society? And into what image are we reforming it? God said, in the wisdom of man, the world by wisdom knew not God. Please God, by the foolishness of preaching, to save them that believe. God is still in the business of saving people who will just believe His word. Because man cannot be saved by his own righteousness, his own goodness. The Bible says in Titus chapter 3, verse 5, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy He saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost. Let me tell you something. There is nothing you can do that can save yourself. There is no amount of sorrow that you could ever have that would ever save your soul. No amount of tears that you could ever cry could ever save you. It is by faith in Jesus Christ alone that will save you. There is nothing else that can save man. In Acts chapter 4, verse 12, Acts chapter 4, verse 12, the Apostle Peter announced, he says, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. I was listening on the radio yesterday, and as I'm telling you this, look up Acts chapter 16. On the radio, there was a certain man talking about salvation. He said, well, you know, I don't believe in any God, and I don't believe in anyone who could save me, but if my own good works aren't enough to get me to heaven, then I guess I'll be there with a lot of my friends. I don't know his friends, so I can't make any comments. But let me tell you something. If he thinks that he's going to be there and enjoy a good time of eternity with a bunch of his friends, when the Bible calls this place outer darkness, he is going to be there all by himself. No matter how many are with him, he will be there all by himself, and he will not be enjoying the presence of his loved ones and friends for an eternity. He'll be enjoying himself for all eternity. My Bible calls on us to believe the gospel message. There is no salvation in any other. That means in you, in your religion, in your own good works, in anyone that you might want to claim, their salvation is only in Jesus Christ, and through Him we have salvation by faith. The Philippian jailer in Acts chapter 16. You remember the story. Terrible earthquake comes at midnight. And the jailer, who thinks that all the prisoners have escaped, is facing eternity. He's about ready to fall on his own sword. Paul and Silas say, do yourself no harm. We're all still here. Even though their chains had all come off in the earthquake. Even though they could have all run. They all knew why the earthquake had come. Paul had been preaching the gospel and singing hymns at midnight. And it says, and the jailer and the rest of the prisoners, they heard him. I'm sure that some of them were probably going, would you just shut up and let us sleep? But Paul kept preaching and singing hymns. And at midnight, a terrible earthquake comes. And this jailer finally awoke to his need for salvation. I just ask you, my friend, what does it take to finally wake you up to the fact that you need to believe in Jesus Christ? With the jailer, it took an earthquake. What kind of tragedies have to come into your life before you finally say, okay, Lord, does the bridge have to fall down under you? Does the earth have to open up around you? What does it take for some of us to finally come to the place where we say, yes, Lord, I will believe what you've told me? The jailer, going to kill himself. Paul says, don't do yourself any harm. And he, it says, brought them out, took them out of that dungeon. And it says, and said, sirs, what must I do to be saved? Now let me tell you, I think the jailer had a reasonable expectation that Paul would give him the entire message at that moment. That he wouldn't say, okay, to begin with, we got 10 things we got to take care of here. And the first thing is, and the second thing is, and I'll tell you the third thing after you've done the first and second. No. His expectation was that Paul would tell him right there, right then, what he needed to do. And it says, and they said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved, and thy house. There was one simple message for them. Believe the gospel. Believe in Jesus Christ. There is no need to do anything else. The entire explanation that he demanded was given to him in verse 31. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 21 again. The Apostle Paul wrote, for after that in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. All that is necessary for salvation is simple faith in the gospel message. In Acts chapter 11. Acts chapter 11. Acts chapter 11. Verse 13 it says, and he showed us how he had seen an angel in his house, which stood and said unto him, send men to Joppa and call for Simon, whose surname is Peter, who shall tell thee words whereby thou and all thy house shall be saved. Now, wouldn't it have been easy enough, since Cornelius had been praying, and this is talking about Cornelius, and asking God to show him how to get saved, that God just let the angel go ahead and tell him? Why not? The angel's already there. Do you know what trouble it was to go get Peter? Cornelius had been praying about this for a long time. Cornelius wanted to be saved. Cornelius had an angel already there. And the angel could have gone ahead and said, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. He died for your sins. He was buried. He rose again the third day. You need to trust Him. But the angel wouldn't give him the message, because God never entrusted the gospel to angels. God entrusted the gospel to men. And so, my Bible very clearly says here that all that the angel could do was tell him, go get a man named Peter. This is where he is. And Cornelius now, who had just spoken with an angel of God, had to send men all the way to Joppa. In the meantime, Peter never wanted to go into a Gentile's house. This was verboten. For those of you that don't understand a little bit of German, it was forbidden. Okay? No Jew was allowed to go and eat in a Gentile's house. And so to make sure that they didn't do that, they didn't even visit Gentile houses. So here you have a perfect example of somebody who is not going to go to Cornelius' house and tell him how to get saved. So God sends a vision for Peter. And Peter sees the sheet coming down from heaven. And God has to do a little holy arm twisting till Peter finally says, okay, I'll go with him. Now, God had to go through all that trouble so that one man could hear the gospel from another man. How much trouble is it for you to just go to your next door neighbor and tell him how to get saved? when God is the one who wants to save him, but he needs a man to tell him. An angel is not going to give the message. And the salvation that Cornelius and his house enjoyed was because they heard the words that Peter pronounced to them about faith in Christ. 1 Corinthians again, chapter 1, verse 18, he says, "For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God." Now let me tell you something. I've seen a lot of people act like fools in my life. All you have to do is go to a football game and you see a lot of people acting like fools, okay? Especially those that are rooting for UCLA. You watch everybody acting like a fool, folks. Do you know something? There are a lot of things that you could act like a fool about and everybody just forgives you, right? They just say, well, okay, he's a fan for whatever, okay? And they expect you to act like a fool because of it. Let me tell you something. There's only one thing that you can act like a fool about and have eternal rewards for it. And that is acting like a fool for Christ. If you're going to be a fool for somebody, I'm going to be a fool for Christ. So whose fool are you? It's time that we actually come to grips with the fact that nothing else can save a man. The only thing that can save him is a foolish message of faith in Christ alone. In James chapter 1, verse 21, James 1, 21, it says, "Wherefore, lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save your souls." The engrafted word, allowing that word of God to take root in my heart, that can save my soul. Why, you know, Paul wrote that to Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 3. 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 15. 2 Timothy 3:15, the Apostle Paul wrote to Timothy, "And that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus." I want every single one of our classes, children's classes, adult classes, I want our nursery kids and our toddlers especially can be taught so much. Do you know, at 3 years of age, my kids could already quote scriptures. When I was thinking they're just little kids that, you know, they can't learn anything, why, they could barely say mama and dada, and they were already quoting the scriptures. You can teach them. And I want every single one of our classes. I want our wobblers class, our toddlers class. I want our children taught the scriptures. When Paul says here that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, what scriptures did Timothy have? All he had was the Old Testament. The New Testament wasn't yet written. And Paul says that in the Old Testament, you have everything that you need to be saved. It's all there through faith in Christ Jesus. Let me tell you something, my friend. It never did me wrong that my mom and dad would drag me off to synagogue on Saturdays and teach me the Old Testament. It did me no harm that I sat through classes in Hebrew when I didn't even understand Hebrew and had to learn it and read the scriptures and be in there with the big people and listen to the rabbi going on and on and on in Hebrew and listening to the scriptures over and over and over again. And having them teach me even in a language which was not my first language. and not my second language. To be taught the Scriptures from a child did me no harm whatsoever. Because one day, the Holy Spirit was able to take all of this that I had heard for years and years and years and years and apply it to my heart so that I believed in Jesus Christ. From a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures. Teach our children the Scriptures. They don't need anything else. They don't need nice stories. They don't need entertainment. What they need is the Word of God. And if we will give it to them from the time they're children, it'll make them wise to salvation. This is why Paul wrote in Romans chapter 1, verses 16 and 17, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation, to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith." It's by believing the gospel message. We've got to get the gospel message to them. We have got to get the Word of God into their heart. They need the truth of the Scriptures. They hear enough of lies. What they need is the truth. Ephesians 1:13, "In whom ye have also trusted after that you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom after that ye believed you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise." Do you know that each and every one of us marks our property? We mark property as our own. We mark it as to whose it is and to who it belongs to. We take a vehicle. We put a VIN number on it. And that number indicates through the registration who owns that vehicle. We don't even quit there. We put a license plate on it. And that license plate is registered so that we know who owns the vehicle, because that vehicle belongs to you. You want to make sure that it's marked as your property. One day I came out of the store. I got my key out shortly after I had bought my car, which was a long time ago now. And I stuck it in the door, and man, that key just didn't want to work. And I tried the electronic thing and it didn't make it beep. And I thought, what in the world's going on with my car? And a man came up and he said, "Let's try this key." And he stuck his key in it. And he opened the door and he got in and drove off with my car. Then I looked about 10 feet away. I saw another car that looked like mine. And I went down there and stuck the key in. And sure enough, that one opened up. And I said, "Well, they switched my car. But since he took my car, I'll take this one." And, you know, we always like to know that our property belongs to us and not to somebody else, right? You know, that's why when a man gets married, puts a ring on the girl's finger and she puts one through his nose. Because we want to make sure that our property is well designated. Amen? Well, when God wanted to designate who belongs to Him, He sealed us with the Holy Spirit. You say, "But I can't see that seal. I can't see that He's marked me." Doesn't matter whether you can see it or not. He can see it. That's all that matters. He knows you belong to Him. You are His property. We trusted in Him. We believed in Him. He sealed us with the Holy Spirit immediately. 1 Timothy 4:16 says, "Take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine." People tell me, "You're not supposed to teach doctrine anymore. It's boring. Nobody wants to hear doctrine anymore. You got to do something like have a play at church and do some of the things that would attract unsaved people." Well, let me tell you something. If God can't attract unsaved people by the foolishness of preaching, what am I going to do? Am I going to do things the world's way now and really let the world attract me? Or am I going to call people out of darkness by the preaching of the gospel message? I'm going to stick to what God has already given me. It's not by worldly gimmicks. It's by the preaching of the cross that some are saved. Take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine. Continue in them. For in doing this, thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee. Folks, today, we need people that will hear the gospel message. We need them to listen to what God has to say and believe in Jesus Christ. Because the only salvation that we have today is that which is offered to us freely through faith in Jesus Christ alone. Let's pray.